If there is a soilish body, a soulish body, there's a spiritual body also. I thank God for that because my body's soil right now. But 1 Corinthians 15:45 is a promise that it won't always be that way. It's going to be spiritual someday. So is your body, Dan. I know this is hard to believe for our audience, but someday, Dan, your body is going to be changed. And it's going to become
better than You mean you're actually think there's going to be an improvement on the perfection of my body as it is right now? Wow.
This is why I'm having a hard time believing it, because you're like Atlas. You're a Greek god.
I am. You know, I'm chiseled like a Greek god. That's right.
You are. It's when you're the poster child for amazement, the fact that these bodies can be improved and they're going to be changed and made unto like unto his glorious body. So, yeah, even you.
Oh, man, we asked the question last time. And by the way, I hope everyone went to studyshelf.com and got a copy of the basic scripture study set. It's on the right side of the page. And a lot of the, I think it's basic to understand what is man. It's a study of mankind, a study of Christ and God and the subject of spirit. So study these things on your own. But we asked the question last time, how can a being that's not spiritual die a spiritual death? And, you know, last time you spoke about, Martin, you brought up the fact that you've spoken at funerals. And
yeah.
You wanted to comfort them with sound words that right now we're going through the corruption and dishonor and infirmity. That has to come first before we enjoy the incorruption, glory, and power.
Necessary prelude.
Right. The corruption, dishonor, and infirmity are connected with the soulish body. The incorruption, glory, and power are connected with the spiritual body. And you said last time you brought this up, isn't it great to know that, as Paul said, not first was the spiritual, but the soulish, thereupon the spiritual. It's great that we're looking forward to something. We're not digressing. We're going forward.
Yeah.
But I want you to notice something here that's so important. You talked about preaching at a funeral, but how many times have you heard people say at these funerals, this person's in a better place? And the reason why they teach that is because of this horrible teaching that in Genesis 3, what happened to Adam was he died spiritually. Did you ever hear that phrase? Spiritual death.
Yeah.
And number one, I've never found the phrase in Scripture. I've read Genesis through Revelation, plus some of the Apocrypha. I can't find it. And also, so the question I have is, when Paul says this here in 1 Corinthians 15, but not that first is spiritual, but soulish, thereupon the spiritual. The first man was out of the earth, soilish. And the question is, it does not say that the first man was spiritual.
Right.
So if we're not spiritual, how is it possible you can die a, quote, spiritual death? And the answer is, it's impossible. When people talk about spiritual death, they are not using a pattern of sound words. They are using false expressions. And false expressions lead to a host of bad teaching.
Yeah, and the reason they get that idea is because God told the first couple, according to the King James and many other common versions, on the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And so Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, and they kept living and breathing, and they procreated quite a bit, and yet God said they were going to die. So they're still living and breathing. Therefore, they must be dead in some other sense. Oh, I know. Let's say they're spiritually dead. That's where that misunderstanding comes in. As usual, it comes in from a bad translation. But as you know,
Calvinists base their whole doctrine on that false belief.
Oh gosh, you know, the doctrine of eternal torment is based on mistranslation, and their false belief that you just mentioned is also based on a mistranslation, because where the King James and other versions say, "On the day you eat it, you shall surely die." I don't think the word surely is in the text. The Concordant version reads, "On the day you eat, to die, you shall be dying. Now that the word die, I forget what the Hebrew word is for death, but it's repeated twice.
Yep.
But in,
and
in
I'll read it.
I got to say this. Instead of repeating it twice, the King James puts the word surely in for the first occurrence of the word death. And I don't know why they did that, because it appears twice. Go ahead and read it. Do you have the King James there? Do you have the concordant version?
I have the concordant. I have my complete concordant Hebrew scriptures in front of me here.
You're a handy guy.
It's right. In Genesis, we read this, and Yahweh Elohim instructed the human, saying, from every tree of the garden you may eat.
Hang on a second, Dan. Hang on. Which version are you reading from right now?
I'm reading from the concordant version.
Okay. All right, good.
But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat from it, for on the day you eat from it, to die you shall be dying. To die you shall be dying. And then when you turn over to Genesis chapter 5, verse 5, Moses says this, so all the days of Adam which he lived came to be 930 years, then he died.
Wow, love it. I mean, I don't love that he died, but that's a telling verse.
Yep. And when think about Adam, too, do you think when God told Adam that when you eat, you're going to die, do you think he speculated and said, I wonder what part of me is going to die?
Yeah.
He knew exactly what was going to happen. He was going to stop breathing.
Well, he didn't even know what death was. You get right down to that. Well, yeah, because he saw his son die. But when God said that to him, he wouldn't have known what death meant anyway. I don't mean to obscure your point there.
Yeah, no, but I understand what you're saying. But the idea is, you know, there was no Calvinistic doctrine of the tripartite man and all this other nonsense that some parts survive
right.
And some don't and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, yeah. Thank
By the way,
it was
from the Tower of Babel.
Calvin had not been invented yet, thankfully.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's analyze that just a little bit, that phrase, to die, you shall be dying, because it sounds so bizarre. But if you break it down, it's not that tough. To die, which is the future, which Dan you just read us that verse from what Genesis 5, and Adam died, to die, you shall be dying. In other words, the day of your actual death will be preceded by a process of dying. So the minute that Adam partook of that fruit, he began dying with the end result that he was to die on such and such a date, such and such a year.
Yep.
So he didn't die, quote, spiritually, unquote, in any sense of the word. He began to die quite naturally, and he began a process which would end in a state.
Exactly, and we've learned before from Genesis 3:19 that death is a return. It's a return to a condition that you were before life. Now, I'm going to read you one sentence here. This is from A. E. Nock, and I don't mind using our sources here, but listen to this. A. E. Nock said, "Neither man is a whole, nor any part of him enters a new, unknown condition at death, but all returns to the state from which it emerged when life was imparted."
Great.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat that. This is important. Neither man is a whole, nor any part of him enters a new unknown condition at death, but all returns to the state from which it emerged when life was imparted. I mentioned this, I believe, last week. I was born in 1970. If I were to die right now, beside the fact that Martin would weep the rest of his life,
yeah, don't, please.
I would return to the exact same condition I was in 1969, January. That's death.
Yeah.
The same condition.
And all you have to do to find the return is to look at the source. There's Adam lying on the ground after he's formed by God. God breathes the breath of life into his nostrils. And because of the breath of life being mingled with the soil of the ground, Adam becomes a living soul. At death, that process is reversed. Run the tape backwards. It's all you have to do. The last thing God did was breathe in, in death, the first thing he does is remove his breath, remove the breath of life. The soul disappears, the body is no longer animated, and it returns to the soil.
You know, throwing something else out here, too, that we pointed this out on many occasions, death is not life. But you want to know a phrase that has been used often that is it's another false expression that doesn't exist in Scripture? It's the phrase, the resurrection of the body.
Yeah, you're right.
Why is that bad? Why is that a bad? Because it gives a false idea of what resurrection is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not some part of man. Resurrection, vivification is basically the process. We point out in Genesis chapter 2, but this time it's into a life that never ends. That's why it's called vivification. So to say resurrection of the body is a false, it gives a false idea of what resurrection is. That term resurrection of the body, again, was invented by the creeds, by theologians, because they didn't believe the dead are dead. So when they talk about resurrection, they have to add to the Word of God by clarifying the resurrection of the body, because false religion teaches a part of man survives when he stops breathing. So they have to invent a term, the resurrection of the body, because, well, part of him was alive the whole time anyway, so it's only the resurrection of the body. Bad theology, bad doctrine.
Yeah. Bad doctrine, bad theology, no doctrine, no theology. you're assuming there that man is separated, you know. You're assuming that the body can be roused independently of the soul, or the soul roused independently of the body, or the spirit roused independently of both of them. And you especially fall into trouble there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people say that. Well, his body was raised on the third day. And that assumes that he was raised, that he never needed raised. He immediately went to God. But no, he was roused from the dead. That's the scriptural language that I'm putting in, that we are putting forth in opposition to this unscriptural phrase, the resurrection of the body. It's the resurrection of the person. It never says, Scripture never says the body was roused. You're right, Dan. The body was raised. It's the resurrection of the person. He was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, not just his body.
And there's a double amen on that one, I'll tell you right now. That is a very important distinction. If you don't get that right, you get everything else wrong.
I'm still marveling that you were born in 1970, and the 70s, was the decade that Led Zeppelin recorded a Whole Lot of Love. I think that is great. I'm happy to learn this.
Well, you know, they were inspired by my entrance onto the scene.
Is that what it was? I knew there
was
something.
Exactly. If you're trying to get me to draw swords with you on Led Zeppelin, I will not do it on the air any longer.
We will do that privately among ourselves.
Yeah. Well, how much time we got? Time just runs by.
We're done, my friend. We're done for today.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we've run out of time. Mm-hmm. We've repudiated and refuted false teaching of spiritual death. That's a lot of work for one day. I mean, I'm tired just from doing that. How about you?
You know the words, corruption, dishonor, infirmity, and I'm feeling that infirmity right now.
Yeah, corruption, dishonor, infirmity. But spiritual death, no, folks, it's a false teaching. These false phrases, the resurrection of the body, spiritual death, these phrases have no foundation in the Word of God, and they wreak havoc upon our belief. And this stuff is trouble. It's vital to understand the truth. Ignorance is fatal for the eons. We don't want you to be ignorant. We want you to come to a realization of the truth. We're going to pick up here tomorrow. Dan, you'll be with me, right?
Yes, I will. I will be with bells and whistles.
I can do it without you. Thanks for listening, folks. Be here tomorrow.